Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have a freeze warning that's in effect this morning, but we'll see the same conditions again tomorrow morning and likely Thursday as well. I'll show you when our temperatures will finally climb back closer to normal.
Plus, the man charged with hitting and killing a truck driver is now charged with DWI, and troopers say this is just one in a string of troubles on the road.
And a reverse ruling could change the future of elections in North Carolina. What you need to know about the case being heard today by the state Supreme Court. It is 8 o'clock. A lot of news to get to on this cold Tuesday morning. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, it is sure is cold out there. I had the boots on. I had the heavy coat this morning because it is chilly. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking a freeze warning that we have until 9 o'clock this morning, Elizabeth.
And of course, that is about to expire here in about another hour, but we've seen our temperatures fall just a little bit more in the last hour or so. And we do have farmers with strawberries, especially around the Triangle area, southward and eastward. Also, the fruit trees, of course, especially in our southern counties, are starting to bud. So I know farmers are out protecting their crops. We did drop to 32 degrees officially at the airport. So our freeze warning did verify there. Our winds are coming out of the west at 6 miles per hour. It almost looks like there's snow on the field there at the DBAP. They've actually covered the grass there, I think, potentially just to make sure that it doesn't get harmed with the freezing temperatures. 32 in Roxborough and South Hill. The actual temperature is on the left and the wind chill's on the right. So it's really cold out there. 33 Rocky Mount and Goldsboro, 35 in Fayetteville. But the wind chill in Goldsboro and Rocky Mount is 30. It feels like 26 in Durham and Raleigh, as well as South Hill. And it feels like 27 in Roxborough and in Southern Pines. So it's definitely a chilly start this morning. It stays chilly all day. We're going to see beautiful sunshine. We've got a gorgeous sunrise that has been happening over the last hour or so. 51 degrees our temperature this afternoon, but with the wind chill, it'll feel no warmer than mid-40s this afternoon. We have several more chilly days in our forecast. Before we change gears, warm it up, and add rain, I'll show you when to expect that coming up, Brian.
Elizabeth, 8:02 right now. We have two crashes causing some big delays in Wake County. First of all, on 440 westbound, right around Ridge Road this morning, which is not too far from Glenwood Avenue. A report of a minor crash there. That is sort of merging into the delays that we typically see on 440 westbound approaching Capitol Boulevard. Pretty slow ride through there. We'll take a closer look at those backups in just a moment. Also, some very heavy delays in Garner on Highway 50 northbound with a serious crash right around the Forest Landing Drive intersection, which is just south of Timber Drive. So let's take a look at those two crashes and the related delays. First of all, that Beltline crash, 440 westbound, seeing a 12-minute backup from I-87 around to Wade Avenue. Most of that is between New Bern Avenue out to Glenwood. If you can pick up 440 westbound from Glenwood Avenue or Lake Boone Trail, you'll be on the other side of those delays. And then a big 22-minute backup on 50 northbound, coming in from Highway 42 in Johnston County up toward Business 70. Those backups begin well in advance of 1010 Road and extend all the way up toward Timber Drive, so a rough trip there this morning. You might consider using 40 as an option if you're over in the Cleveland community, but we're seeing some pretty big backups there between 42 up toward Business 70 on I-40 westbound. Another crash I'm following is in Durham. This is on 885 right around Cornwallis Road. Looks like it's affecting the northbound side mostly, and it looks like at this point it's mostly over on the right shoulder, according to that camera at 885 at Cornwallis Road. Right now we're picking up about a 6-minute backup between I-40 up to just beyond TW Alexander Drive. Once you get to the 147 split, looks like 885 northbound is looking okay.
All right, thank you, Brian. This morning, we're tracking three big headlines that could affect your family's finances. We start with a big report on inflation out in just about 30 minutes at 8:30 this morning. The Consumer Price Index for February will show where prices stand for gas, groceries, and other day-to-day items. Economists think today's report will show high inflation is sticking around. Up until recently, that led many to believe the Federal Reserve would raise interest rates again in response to try and bring prices down. But now a potential bank crisis unfolding. It's not clear if that'll happen.
And that brings us to our second big story, growing concern that banks of various sizes are at risk of collapse. Bank stocks are still in flux this morning as customers and investors pull out their money. This follows the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. The government has seized both of those banks and promised their failure is not a wider sign that we're headed for something similar to the 2008 financial crisis. The White House says everyone with money in the bank will not lose any any of it. The Fed is now investigating what went wrong.
And this all comes as Duke Energy customers could see a big increase in their electricity bill. Tonight, you can weigh in on that proposed rate hike. Duke Energy wants state regulators to raise rates 18% over the next 3 years. And that means an average bill of $115 a month would jump to $127 next year, then $134 the year after that. Duke says the hike is needed to improve grid reliability and security. Tonight's public hearing starts at 7 o'clock at the Dobbs Building in Raleigh.
A breaking update now. Troopers told us just before 3 this morning, a man is facing DWI charges after a deadly crash in Johnston County. And it's his third DWI charge in 1 year. We told you last night about the car hauler truck driver who was hit and killed on U.S. 70 business east of Clayton. Investigators say the truck driver had just picked up a vehicle from a car lot and was outside when he was hit. Troopers have not released the driver's name or the name of the man who was charged. They say more charges are pending.
Right now, more officers are out on the roads looking for drunk drivers. The St. Patrick's Day Booze It and Lose It campaign is underway. During this week, last year, there were 225 crashes linked to alcohol in our state. 11 people died. The increased patrols run through Sunday.
Today, the North Carolina Supreme Court will consider reversing a decision that could have a big impact on our state's elections for decades to come. WRAL's Nia Hardin is live outside the court to explain what this means for your vote. Good morning, Nia.
Good morning. This morning, we're expecting to see protesters right here at the Supreme Court building. As we know, what happens today could change how much power North Carolina politicians get in deciding how your vote counts. The court is looking at whether to reverse a decision it made only months ago that it has the power to change voting maps drawn by state lawmakers. The court has intervened several times over the last decade, arguing that the maps drawn by Republicans were designed to keep that party in control. But that decision was from a Democrat-led court. Now the court is controlled by Republicans. WRAL politics reporter Will Doran says rehearings like this are very rare.
Critics say, well, there aren't really new facts. It's just new justices on the court. And so that's a big debate as to whether or not, this decision was made properly. But the decision got made, so we're moving forward with it. We're going to be watching to see what happens.
If the court overturns its ruling, some say it could allow Republicans to consolidate power in all levels of state government. Republicans, however, believe the original rulings were not only wrong, but politically motivated. The court will start at 12:45 this afternoon. WRAL is going to be there. We'll have updates for you in our later newscast. Nia Hardin, WRAL News in Raleigh.
In just over an hour, we're expecting a big announcement from Governor Roy Cooper. He'll be joined by violence prevention advocates and state officials at the Executive Mansion and in Raleigh at 9:30 this morning. We have reached out to figure out what this is all about. We'll let you know as soon as we know. And President Biden, meanwhile, will be discussing gun violence today near the site of a mass shooting in Monterey Park, California. 11 people died in a shooting there back in January. The president plans to sign an executive order today aimed at increasing background checks for gun sales. He also calls for campaigns to raise awareness for red flag laws that can get guns out of the hands of dangerous people.
Happening now, you'll likely see a lot of law enforcement on the campus of NC State. Here's why. Officers are holding training while students are on spring break. So these training drills will run from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day through Thursday. You will see officers from federal, state, and local agencies on campus. The university says it's already notified nearby businesses and neighborhoods to let them know about what's happening. A big blow to the Carolina Hurricanes lineup ahead of the playoffs. Star forward Andrei Svechnikov is out indefinitely. He suffered a right knee injury against the Vegas Golden Knights on Saturday. And after an MRI, the team says there's no timetable on a return. The 22-year-old is second in points for the team and third in goals.
Coming up, a 13-year-old is kidnapped and brought to North Carolina. And the authorities say social media and gaming platforms allowed that to happen. Next, how you can protect your own kids.
Then ahead in our next half hour, how a local cheerleader's mother saved her daughter's life after she had a heart attack during a competition.
And it's a cold start this morning. Our temperatures are close to freezing. We're going to see the same thing again tomorrow morning and Thursday morning. Then we're going to wrap up the week with some rain heading into the weekend. I'll show you the timeline and how much of the weekend will be wet.
Welcome back. 8:13 on your chilly Tuesday morning. This is a live look at Lake Gaston. It looks beautiful, but it certainly is cold out there. You definitely need the jacket this morning and even into this afternoon. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has a look around town. We're under a freeze warning right now. It's cold out there.
Yeah, temperatures are down near freezing in a good bit of the viewing area. And on top of that, it's breezy, so it feels like 20s for most of us stepping out the door right now. Here's a live look at Goldsboro, as well as Durham, Apex, and Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We have a cold blast that's affecting most of the eastern part of the United States. This low pressure system, which is rotating counterclockwise, is helping to feed some wind out of the northwest into our area, keeping us chilly. This high back to the west has winds that rotate clockwise. So both of these are working together to create these breezy conditions today into tomorrow. That low moving up the East Coast into New England, New York, of course, producing some heavy snow there. They've had a bit of a light snow winter overall. This one could produce as much as 2 feet of snow in some places. Of course, California continues to get hammered by storm after storm. There's another one making landfall there in California right now. We have a freeze warning in effect tomorrow, and we'll likely have one again on Thursday as well, as it looks like temperatures could be at freezing yet again. Rain moves in late Friday night. This is going to be the next system that is headed our way. Rain is likely into the first half of Saturday. Saturday, fortunately, does not look like a washout totally. We should see some sunshine developing in the afternoon. At 6 a.m. on Friday, the rain is well to our west, and by 5 p.m., it's starting to move into the mountains. Of course, Friday is St. Patrick's Day. I know a lot of people like to be out and about for St. Patrick's Day, especially because it's going to be warm this year. And we'll start to see the rain sliding into the area by midnight, so you're probably good through dinner time, and then after that, you might need your raincoat or umbrella. It may be raining fairly heavily early Saturday morning. There's 6 a.m., but right now it looks like the rain is out of the viewing area, or most of the viewing area right there. At noon, we may see some sunshine peeking through in the afternoon, but it does look like it's still going to be chilly once that front moves on by. How much rainfall with that front Friday night? Looking at 1/4 inch to 1/2 inch on average. And of course, the temperatures that go along with that will be a good bit warmer. We go from 51 today to 65 on Thursday. Thursday should be a nice day for getting outside with some sunshine. We'll see increasing clouds on Friday for St. Patrick's Day, but 73 is going to be nice. Saturday, once the rain moves through, temperatures should climb into the low to mid 60s, but then it's cooler again on Sunday and Monday. Brian?
It is 8:15. Breaking news in Cary right now. We have a crash on US 1 northbound just beyond the Cary Parkway interchange. Two right lanes are blocked. You can see the response out there with Cary Fire and Police. Seeing some big delays coming in right now from Apex through Cary. About a 30-minute backup overall. Those delays really began around Highway 55 and Apex. It's slow all the way out toward Cary Parkway. You'll notice if you're able to join US 1 northbound from Cary Parkway, vehicles are able to make their way down the ramp and into that traffic. You will not run into those giant backups. You might consider using Cary Parkway to US 1 as an alternate route. Still tracking some very heavy delays on 50 northbound heading out of the southern side of Wake County up toward Garner. We have a crash right around Forest Landing Drive, which is not too far from Timber Drive. Seeing about a 30-minute delay on those northbound lanes of Highway 50 as well. Those backups begin around the 1010 Road intersection there on the south side of Garner. Also look out for a crash in Durham on 885 northbound between Cornwallis Road and TW Alexander Drive. Taking a look at the latest sensor updates, it looks like it's improving out there on that northbound side, about a 2-minute delay, then about a 3-minute slowdown overall on southbound 885 coming in from 147 down toward I-40.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Wake County has issued white flag status for tonight because of freeze warnings. Shelters will be open to anyone without somewhere to stay or without reliable heating. They will open at 5 o'clock tonight. You can find a list of shelters on our website, WREL.com.
Authorities have a warning for parents this morning after police say a 13-year-old girl found in a North Carolina shed was lured by a kidnapper through social media and gaming platforms. The Davidson County Sheriff's Office says messages were exchanged between suspect Jorge Camacho and the 13-year-old girl, who's from Dallas. Investigators say Camacho had been grooming her and enticing her to leave her home. Officers charged Camacho with kidnapping and rape. U.S. Attorney Michael Easley says it's important for parents to be aware who their children are chatting with on video games.
But it's a lot more complicated if your child is using one of these collaborative gaming consoles where they're plugged in for hours and hours on end. You absolutely have to have knowledge of how to install safety features in place to keep your kids safe.
Easley says there has been an increase in predators trying to reach children through video games. Camacho faces several charges, including rape and indecent liberties with a child. He is in jail on a $1 million bond.
How should racial issues be taught in public schools? That debate is expected today before a key committee in the State House of Representatives. The House Committee on K-12 Education is set to vote on a bill that would ban schools from teaching about systemic racism or white privilege. A similar bill was vetoed by Governor Roy Cooper last year, but his veto power is weaker this session after Republicans gained seats in the legislature. For all of our coverage of the legislative session, you can visit nccapitol.com.
The top Republican in the U.S. Senate is headed to recovery at an inpatient rehab facility after a bad fall. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell was released from the hospital yesterday after suffering a concussion and a broken rib last week. The 81-year-old tripped and fell at a hotel in Washington, D.C. Doctors have not said how long it will be before he can return home or back to work. The U.S. Senate returns to proceedings tonight after a long weekend.
Former President Donald Trump is turning his attention to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on the 2024 campaign trail. As a campaign rally last night in Iowa, Trump attacked DeSantis for his positions on Social Security and Medicare. Trump also criticized DeSantis for voting to cut subsidies on agricultural products when he was in Congress. Trump also said that he would fire bureaucrats who have, in his words, weaponized the justice system.
We stand up to the crooked Democrat prosecutors all over the country. If I fly over a state that happens to be Democrat, let's call them into a grand jury. They have never, nobody's ever weaponized like this group of people. They're maniacs.
Trump is facing the possibility of becoming the first president to be criminally indicted at a New York grand jury investigation. As for the attacks on DeSantis, as of this morning, DeSantis has not responded. He also has not announced a run for president.
Governor Cooper wants to make it easier to get a job in government. He issued an executive order encouraging more people to apply, prioritizing work experience over having a formal degree. This includes jobs with DOT, healthcare workers with DHHS, and corrections. Officials say this gives job seekers more options while helping the state expand its labor pool.
We really want people to come in, and we really mean it, that you can come in and qualify based on life experience, military experience, anything that you've done in your life that helps you know how to do that job.
Nearly 75% of state jobs do not require a higher education degree or allow experience to be substituted for education. At last check, there are nearly 1,400 available government jobs across the state.
Some of the biggest stars in theaters and in the world of streaming are revealing some new projects. David Daniel shows us some of them in today's Hollywood Minute.
To catch a grandma, you have to think like a grandma. Think. What would grandma do?
Pedro Pascal, detective, the star of The Mandalorian and The Last of Us, gets his gumshoe on in promos for the latest version of the popular mobile game, Merge Mansion. Pascal plays the game's detective Tim Rockford, teasing the mystery at the Bolton family mansion. The Merge Mansion update is set for March 28th.
Sometimes I can feel the sky as it rotates. It scatters my thoughts.
You're my baby girl, you're all I got.
Melissa Barrera from In the Heights and Scream 6 stars in All the World is Sleeping, about mothers, daughters, and generational addiction. The New Mexico nonprofit Bold Futures NM developed the film, working with women living the realities of substance abuse, trauma, and parenting. All the World is Sleeping opens in theaters and on digital platforms Friday. In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
Today, March 14th, is Pi Day. It's a celebration of the number pi, pi, 3.14. The mathematical constant is the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. You remember from school, right? Well, you can celebrate the day even if you aren't a math whiz and you don't know all the other decimal points. Many restaurants have specials today on things like pie, P-I-E, and pizza. That includes Papa John's, Marco's Pizza, and Publix grocery stores. Now, we have a full list of deals on WRAL.com. Just look under the Smart Shopper tab. Fun way to celebrate Pi Day with some food.
That's how I can get behind it. I am not. Right. I am no means good at math at all. So I'll eat a pizza pie instead.
We can all relate to the other pies. I don't know if we ever really use the mathematical pie after learning about it.
All right, coming up for us, after a decade of debate, hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians are close to getting access to health care. The final steps remaining in the push to expand Medicaid.
Plus, what new warrants are revealing about the investigation into the murder of University of Idaho college students.
Listen to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Tuesday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey with your top stories. We're going to begin with traffic. Brian Schrader is tracking some backups on Cary Parkway, Brian.
We are seeing a big crash right now in Cary, causing some delays on US 1 northbound. This is right there at the bottom of the ramp from Cary Parkway onto US 1 northbound. You can see where they have the right lane block there. They do have a tow truck on the scene, so this should get cleared up pretty quickly. But coming in from Apex this morning, you're looking at about a half hour traffic jam there heading through Cary. If you can pick up US 1 northbound from Cary Parkway, you'll be on the other side of those delays. Also, Walnut Street might be a good option for you this morning. Also, on the south side of Garner, watch for a crash on Highway 50 right around Forest Landing Drive, which is just south of Timber Drive. Taking a look at that ride coming in from 42, another 36-minute backup through there, and unfortunately, there are not too many good alternate routes, Elizabeth.
It looks pretty out there, but it is chilly. 33 in Rocky Mount. It's 32 in Durham and Raleigh right now. It's a beautiful sunny skies. It's a bit breezy, though, and that wind is making it feel even colder. Our temperatures are feeling like mid-20s to around 30 right now with the wind chill. Our temperature only climbs up into the low 50s this afternoon, and even during the afternoon with the wind chill, it'll feel like mid-40s. Walking the dog this evening will be rather chilly.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Today, the North Carolina Supreme Court will reconsider a case that could give state lawmakers more control over how your voting maps are drawn. A reversed ruling would keep the courts out of the drawing process. That could make it easier for one party to keep control. Coming up next on Fox 50, how you can weigh in tonight on a plan to raise your electricity bill by nearly 20%. And ahead on today, Bob Odenkirk is in Studio 1A ahead of his TV comeback.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking news at 8:30. Two crashes in Wake County creating some big delays in Cary and also heading into Garner. I'll try to get you around those delays.
The U.S. government has now effectively guaranteed all deposits.
Words of reassurance after a run on several banks. What you need to know about your money as concern lingers about a financial crisis.
And your electricity bill could be going up nearly 20%. The reason Duke Energy says it needs to raise its rates. It is 8:30, a lot to tell you about here as you stick with us on this cold Tuesday morning. And unfortunately, it's not going to get much warmer today. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, not going to get much warmer today. We still have that freeze warning for about another 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here tracking the temperatures for where we're at right now, Elizabeth.
It's freezing right here in Fayetteville as we take a live look. Beautiful here without all that sunshine, but it is 32 degrees. We have a west wind at around 6 miles per hour. That's making it feel pretty chilly for us. Our wind chill is on the right, so it feels like 26 in Durham and Raleigh. It feels like 30 in Rocky Mount and Goldsboro, 26 in South Hill, 27 in Southern Pines. And our actual temperatures are below freezing around Southern Pines, around the Triangle area. We're close to it in Rocky Mount and South Hill, 32 degrees right now in Roxboro. So I know a lot of farmers are out protecting their plants, strawberry farmers, fruit trees, that sort of thing. We have another freeze warning for tonight and early tomorrow morning. And we'll probably see another one on Thursday as well. we have a number of days in a row with these freezing temperatures. The wind chill is making it feel chilly this morning. Of course, as you just saw, it'll feel like mid-40s through the afternoon, even though we'll see a high of 51. We have some rain that will come in to wrap up the week Friday night into Saturday. I'll show you the timeline for that coming up, Brian.
Elizabeth, some breaking news right now in Wake County with a couple of crashes creating some pretty big backups. First of all, US 1 at Cary Parkway. This crash has been moved over to the right shoulder, but also it looks like we still have that right lane block. This is down the ramp from Cary Parkway onto US 1 northbound. So if you can pick up US 1 northbound from Cary Parkway, you'll be on the other side of all this. The good news is that now that they have pretty much all of the lanes open out there, we're starting to see these delays easing up a little bit, about a 13-minute backup coming in from Apex, and you need to allow plenty of extra time there from 55 all the way out toward Tryon Road and that Cary Parkway interchange. Another crash that I'm following is just south of Garner on Highway 50 at Forest Landing Drive. That's between Timber Drive and New Bethel Church Road. You can see some very heavy northbound delays there, beginning right around 1010 Road, extending all the way out toward that Timber Drive intersection. We're measuring a 32-minute backup overall from 42 in Johnston County up to Business 70. And at this point, the delays on 50 are bad enough that you might consider hopping over to I-40 and using that through the Clayton Bypass. You're going to run into some backups, but nothing like the 30 to 35-minute delays we're seeing on 50 northbound right now.
Brian, thanks. This morning, we're tracking three big headlines that could affect your family's finances. We start with a big report on inflation due out in just the next few minutes. The Consumer Price Index for February will show where prices stand for gas, groceries, and other day-to-day items. Economists think today's report will show high inflation is sticking around. Up until recently, that led many to believe the Federal Reserve would raise interest rates again in response to try and bring prices down. Now, with a potential bank crisis unfolding, it is not clear if that will happen.
And that brings us to our second big story this morning. Growing concern that banks of various sizes are at risk of collapse. Bank stocks are still in flux this morning as customers and investors pull their money out. It follows the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. The government has seized both of those banks and promised their failure is not a wider sign that we're headed for something similar to the 2008 financial crisis. The White House says everyone with money in the bank will not lose any of it. The Fed is now investigating what went wrong.
We'll learn a lot more facts and we'll have a lot more opinions of what happened. And I guarantee you that we will regulate for whatever went wrong this time. But next time, it will be something different.
Experts think deregulation during the Trump administration may have played a role in the crisis. A full review is due out May 1st. We'll have a closer look at the local impacts in 15 minutes.
On top of all these other financial issues, Duke Energy customers could see a big increase in their electricity bill later this year. And you might be surprised at the reason. WRL's Laura Levine is live in Raleigh, where you can share your thoughts about the potential hike tonight. Laura.
Yeah, today customers can stop by the Dobbs building here behind me to share their opinions about everything that's happening. And here's what's happening. Duke Energy Progress is now proposing a rate hike. And this is very different than some of the proposals we've seen, such as Duke Energy Carolinas trying to raise its rates because of fuel costs. This is specifically to make upgrades and improvements to the energy grid. Take a look at your screen there. You can see who's affected in the light blue on this map. It's mostly people in Eastern and Central North Carolina, including those in Raleigh, Fayetteville, and Wilmington. Duke is asking state regulators for about a 20% hike over 3 years, with the first 11% increase happening as soon as December.
There are investments being made to strengthen the wires, to add additional ability to monitor when there is an outage, to reroute power so that customers have outages that last a shorter period of time. And those, many of those investments have been taking place for the last few years.
And that is James McClawhorn you're hearing from. He's with the NC Public Division of Energy reviewing the case. Now, the Utilities Commission, they have the final say in all of this, and they will have more to say once that request is filed come June. This meeting, again, takes place at 7 p.m. Laura Levine, WREL News, live in Raleigh.
The Republican-led North Carolina Supreme Court will rehear a case today that could change the balance of power in our state's government. It comes just months after a ruling from the high court when it was led by Democrats. It's an unusual move that some say is motivated by partisanship. The justices will decide whether the courts have the power to intervene in voting maps drawn by state lawmakers. Previously, the courts have forced do-overs of those maps after concerns they favored only Republicans. A reversal in their ruling could give lawmakers more power to create voting maps unchecked. WREL will be inside the Supreme Court. We'll have live reports this afternoon. And community activists plan to rally outside the state capitol today ahead of that court hearing. Several groups, including the state chapter of the NAACP, will protest against the court's decision to reconsider the case. Democratic lawmakers, including Congresswoman Deborah Ross, also plan to hold a briefing today on the issue.
A major winter storm is hitting the Northeast. This is a live look right now at the driving conditions in Worcester, Massachusetts. And you can see, you can hardly see the pavement with so much snow already. It is a mess to drive out there. Crews were out all day yesterday in New York and New Jersey getting ready. Some areas could get up to 2 inches of snow an hour and about 2 feet of it by the time the storm passes through. Much of New York State is under a state of emergency.
People in upstate say, well, snow's coming, another snowstorm. I've lived my whole life with snowstorms, but this is one we're cautioning people that this could be deadly.
The storm is also set to flood the coast of New England. Meanwhile, people on the West Coast are bracing for yet another round of flooding. In California, an atmospheric river is set to bring more wet weather to a region still reeling from back-to-back storms. Last week's rain led to a levee breach in one community that forced thousands of people to evacuate. First responders are expecting more flood rescues in the days ahead.
Today, you can learn more about proposed improvements to the I-40 interchange with I-440, US 1, and US 64. The DOT is proposing two projects. One would widen the interstate from the interchange to Lake Wheeler Road, and the other would improve the interchange itself. An open house meeting on the projects is happening from 4 to 7 tonight at Hope Community Church on Buck Jones Road. You can submit comments there or do it online through March 28th.
A push to bring health care coverage to hundreds of thousands more North Carolinians is almost finished. Today, the state Senate is expected to hold the first of two votes on Medicaid expansion. Once it passes, it only needs a single House vote to be on its way to Governor Cooper's desk. That could happen by the end of this week. Even if it's signed into law, Medicaid expansion would have to wait on the state budget to be passed, which could be months away.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, the highly anticipated consumer price index report just dropped within the last 5 minutes. You can see the headlines right now on CNBC, how it's affecting the Dow Jones right now. But right now, it shows that inflation is sticking around, inflation up 0.4% and 6% from a year ago. Again, that means inflation is sticking around. The consumer price index shows where prices stand for gas, groceries, and other day-to-day items. Now, this is a leading indicator for the Federal Reserve that meets on March 21st to determine whether or not an interest rate hike will happen. Some observers are believing that may not happen because of the current bank collapse of those two U.S. banks. Of course, we'll see how this is affecting the markets when you join us in the next hour for the latest numbers from Wall Street.
Ken, thank you. Still ahead, a mother's request after saving her daughter's life at a cheerleading competition in Raleigh.
They need to have one.
The one device she says saved her daughter from cardiac arrest and can save others as well.
Plus, what newly unsealed search warrants are revealing about the murder of four University of Idaho students.
And we're tracking how long our freezing temperatures stick around as you look live at Raleigh. Your 7-day forecast is next. It is 8:44 as we take a live look at Rocky Mount Mills. Such a pretty picture. Those blue skies, lots of sunshine out there. only they could help warm up those cold temperatures. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with how many mornings will be this cold?
So this morning, we've seen temperatures dropping down to freezing in some places. And the next two mornings, we'll see it again tomorrow morning as well as Thursday morning. It is 32 degrees in the Triangle right now, and it's dry too. Our dew point's 19. We have high fire danger again today. I'll show you why coming up in a few minutes. We'll only hit 45 by lunchtime, so it's going to be chilly all day. We take a live look in downtown Fayetteville here on Hay Street, and it's beautiful and sunny, but chilly here as well. We have a freeze warning in effect. We had one in effect this morning. It's in effect again for tomorrow morning, or tomorrow or tonight and tomorrow morning, and then we'll likely see another one again on Thursday. This is a look at temperatures and wind chill together today. So the temperature's on the left and the wind chill is on the right. So at 10 a.m., it's still going to feel like 31. At lunchtime, it'll feel like 38. And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which could end up being the warmest part of the day, still just 44 degrees. That's the way it's going to feel. And we'll see an actual high of 51. And the reason for that, of course, the breezy conditions that we'll see today. Our wind is out of the northwest, steady at about 15 to 20 this afternoon and gusting to 30. And you can see how those winds increase as we get through the afternoon. So that wind chill will only feel increasingly chilly as we get through the latter part of the day. Fire danger for it today. Outdoor burning discouraged. We had high fire danger a week or so ago, and we ended up with some wildfires down in Cumberland County and other places. So you want to be diligent about not burning outside for today or even tomorrow for that matter. Probably going to feel a little chilly and breezy to be outside tailgating for the Hurricanes game tonight. 7 o'clock, 46 degrees, and at 10 o'clock, 38. But of course, it'll feel colder than that with the wind chill. More chilly nights ahead. 39 is our normal low. We'll see 29 early tomorrow morning, Thursday 30, and then by Friday, our temperatures get a lot closer to normal. This is a look at the difference between actual and normal. We're looking at below normal temperatures here in blue, and the yellows and reds are above normal. So briefly, Thursday and Friday, and even Saturday, we're above normal, and then we start to turn cooler again for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week. Checking our temperatures again, 51, then 56 tomorrow, 65 Thursday. Thursday and Friday, both days actually look pretty good to be outside. We may see more sunshine Thursday. Increasing clouds on Friday, and Friday night we'll see some showers a little closer to midnight. Friday, of course, is St. Patrick's Day. I know a lot of folks will want to be out and about. We'll see some rain for the first half of Saturday and then drying out. Coming up in just a little while, we'll walk through the chances for rain for late Friday and Saturday.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Now to a look at how the unfolding banking crisis is affecting investors here in the Triangle. We spoke with officials at SJF Ventures in Durham about the run on Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. SJF helps startups get the funding they need to grow, and its managing director tells us 10 of the companies he works with had accounts with Silicon Valley Bank.
It's excessive turbulence for companies that are already managing a lot of turbulence in the economy, but hopefully we've averted some of the worst of it.
So we want to calm down, remember that we are insured, and just let things play out.
It's important to note, experts say a repeat of the 2008 financial crisis is extremely unlikely. Remember, the federal government insures bank deposits up to $250,000.
Now to an update this morning in the murder case involving four University of Idaho students. New search warrants reveal dozens of companies like Google, Meta, and Tinder are being forced to turn over information in connection with the murder case against Brian Koberger. Police say he stabbed four college students to death in an off-campus home last November. Authorities still haven't publicly released a motive. Experts say data from these warrants may help investigators piece together an even stronger digital footprint.
A former Raleigh police officer will never wear a badge again after he pleaded guilty to drug charges while on duty. Kevin Rodriguez faces at least 10 years in prison when he's sentenced later this year. Rodriguez sold cocaine to an informant while in his uniform on duty. Chief Estella Patterson said he betrayed public trust and dishonored his oath to protect and serve.
A 17-year-old cheerleader is recovering after going into cardiac arrest during a recent competition in Raleigh. Kiana Joe is a student at Western Harnett High. She was at a competition on March 5th at Broughton High School when, during a warm-up, she became unresponsive. Her mother used an AED to help save her life.
If we can save one life just with the knowledge of how important it is to get that AED, and that every facility that has any kind of athletes and their children at all, they need to have one.
need to have a defibrillator and know how to use one. Kiana was taken to Duke Medical Center, where doctors confirmed she had a heart attack. A GoFundMe has been set up to help cover the cost of her hospital stay.
Imagine saving for years to buy a home. You find the perfect place and decide to close, but instead of wiring your down payment to a bank, it goes to a scammer. Scenarios like this are playing out across the country and here in North Carolina. Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur talked to experts about how to protect yourself from wire fraud.
In the last year, Five on Your Side has gotten you back more than $300,000. And while that's an awesome part of the job, we want to prevent viewers from losing money in the first place. And most of the time, it's as simple as stronger emails, passwords, and just being cautious.
I'm a small, you know, small town practice.
Attorney Nicole Quinn will never forget the day she lost $240,000 of her client's money.
2021, when this all went down, the refis were up because the interest rates were down. So we were doing like three and four closings a day.
By having just enough of the right financial and personal information, a scammer pretending to be her client duped Quinn and her paralegal into handing over the money meant for her client's refinanced mortgage.
I went into full panic mode. I called everybody. I called the state bar. I called the FBI. I called the police in Clayton's, where my office is, and they were all, I think they can all hear in my voice how utterly distraught I was and how panicked I was.
If you think this would never happen to you, think about this. According to data from the FBI, more than 13,000 people in the U.S. were victims of wire fraud in real estate, losing $213 million. That's in 2020, a 17% increase from 2019. Plus, losses in wire fraud overall extend far beyond that.
We're talking about billions of dollars every year that are being stolen. The scammers get more and more sophisticated as time goes on, but most of these situations can be prevented if people are utilizing the proper tools to keep this kind of information safe and secure.
You've got to get out in front of it.
To curb fraud, Janet Thorne, legal counsel for North Carolina's Real Estate Commission, spoke at a wire conference in Raleigh, one of several events throughout the state. She says all real estate brokers and attorneys need to have two-factor authentication for email, use virtual private networks, and make sure their staff and clients are well-versed on proper wire transfer security protocols.
Those scammers, that is their full-time job. Their full-time job is to get into your computer and to get your money.
Quinn got the $240,000 back for her client, but that's rare.
Two other attorneys were hit on the same day, and I don't think they got theirs back. I'm not embarrassed by it. I want other attorneys and other agents, whoever's handling other people's money, to know how easily it could happen to you.
Keely Arthur, Five on Your Side. North Carolina is a step closer to legalizing sports gambling. State lawmakers have officially filed a bill to make it happen. The bill has bipartisan support. It allows betting on professional and collegiate athletics. The bill is very similar to the one passed by the House last year. The Senate made a lot of changes, and the bill eventually failed. Supporters think they have the votes this time around. Critics are concerned it will lead to more gambling addiction. The city of Durham has rescheduled when parents can register their children for city-run summer camps. Registration was supposed to start yesterday. It's now been moved to March 27th. Youth summer camps for children ages 5 to 12 run from June 20th to August 19th. It will cost $132 a week for people who live in Durham and $157 a week for people who live outside the city. Wake County summer camp registration is set to start in less than 2 weeks.
Before we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.